Our New Testament reading this morning will be found on page 844 in the Pew Bibles. This is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, reading verses 27 to 33. Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the village of Caesarea Philippi. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you're one of the other prophets." Then Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" Peter replied, "You're the Messiah." But Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then Jesus began to tell them that he, the Son of Man, would suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the leaders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, and 3 days later, he would rise again. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and told him he shouldn't say such things. Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, and then said to Peter very sternly, "Get away from me, Satan. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Amen, and thanks be to God. The choir will now sing the anthem, "Lord, for thy tender mercy's sake."
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Right, I've remembered that this is the first Sunday in Lent. Yes, we do celebrate Lent. My first year as a minister, around about this time of year, I went into one of the primary schools in the village and we're going to have a lesson about Lent. And the teacher actually interrupted and said in front of the whole class, "But we don't celebrate Lent." Okay. I think we should. A season of 40 days, not counting the Sundays, in which we get to journey after Jesus towards Easter. The road of the cross is not an easy road for us to walk upon. That's why we need Lent. If we were left to ourselves, our prayer would almost certainly be, "If it were possible, let this road pass away from me. Let me find any other road, but not the way of the cross." We need Lent to teach us to pray. "Not my will, but yours. Not my way, but your way." Lent is a season we aim to spend in the company of Jesus. Jesus is our King, and he has set his face towards Jerusalem and is walking before his disciples on that road to Jerusalem, on the way of the cross. The burning desire of our hearts should be that for the next 6 weeks, we might walk more closely with him, to place our feet, as it were, in his footprint. We can only walk this road in the presence of Jesus. Every human instinct would have us run any other way. Thank God then for the gift of Lent, a reminder to us and a challenge. Walk in the way of Jesus. Follow Jesus on his way of the cross. We've been hearing these past weeks people in the Gospels who came to Jesus and asked him questions. During Lent, we're going to turn that around. And we are going to sit with people in the Gospels and hear Jesus ask us questions. No longer questions for Jesus, but beginning today, questions from Jesus. One of those questions is not, will you follow me? King Jesus never asks us that. King Jesus declares, follow me. King Jesus calls, follow me. It's a declaration, an imperative, a command, if you like. Follow me. The questions we will hear Jesus ask will show us what it means to follow him. Help us to follow him. Guide us in following Jesus as our King. In our passage today, which John read earlier, Jesus asked two questions. Who do people say I am? And then, who do you say I am? Wonder if you share this experience and childhood memory with me. I remember coming home from school one day with that exam report card. And I'd had a wee look at it before, and there were some bits that weren't too good. So I thought I would get my retaliation in first. Dad, here's the report card. You know Alan next door, he failed the exam. And Lynn round the corner, she did really badly. At which point, wonder if you recognise, Dad interrupted me. I don't care how Alan and Lynn did. How did you do? Show me the card. My trying to soften the blow tactic, my diverting attention away from me onto others really didn't work. I'm now at an age where not only do I remember trying it, but I've watched my children do it. And they think that no one would ever have tried this before. And they're amazed that you see through what they're doing. At times it's easy for us to talk about other people's faith, to talk about how well other people know Jesus. Oh, look at them. They're a great saint. They really follow Jesus. We can talk about other people all day. But as though there was only one person in the universe, this morning Jesus looks at you and he asks you, who do you say I am? Don't tell me about someone else. Don't tell me what they think. Who do you say I am? We need to answer Jesus once again. He's going to keep bringing this question again and again and again because he wants to hear your answer. Who do you say Jesus is? His first question, though, is actually about people. Who do people say I am? So the disciples of Jesus, they tell him what they've heard, spoken about in the marketplaces down by the lake shore. Well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. Remember how in the Old Testament he didn't die, the chariot came and he was taken away? Well, maybe he's come back again. Some people say you're one of the prophets. I suppose for any other person, being identified as a prophet of God might be a great honor. Wow, I'm a prophet. I get to hear from God and speak his word to the people. But for Jesus, being a prophet is not enough. It's not nearly good enough. This year, we hope the Olympic Games are going to be held in Tokyo later on at the end of the summer. At the last Commonwealth Games, which were held over in Australia, there was a Scottish athlete, her name's Grace Reid, and she won 3 medals at the diving. One of them a gold medal for the 1 metre springboard diving. Now, since you won those medals, can't we imagine Grace's smile every time she's introduced as a Commonwealth gold medalist? Yeah, that's me. I did that. I've got the medal to prove it. But let's imagine that Grace gets selected for the team and is able to compete in the Olympics at Tokyo. And let's imagine that she wins a medal there, perhaps even another gold medal. Think she's going to be happy to be introduced as a Commonwealth medalist when she's got an Olympic one? Suddenly, being a Commonwealth medalist is good, but there's more that can be said. I'm an Olympic medalist. A prophet is good, but it's not enough. There's more that we can say about Jesus. Of course, we cannot know or say everything there is to know about Jesus. Jesus is the one who was with God before the creation of the world. How could we possibly know everything about the eternal second person of the Trinity of God? However, it's really sad when disciples of Jesus settle for knowing less than they could. There are things we can't know, and we shouldn't pry into them, but there are many things we do know which Jesus has revealed, but too often we settle for less than that. Jesus is a good teacher, we say. That's true, but it's not enough. Jesus was kind and helpful to people. Well, that's true, but it's not enough. Jesus could do wonderful miracles. Again, that's true, but on its own, it's not enough. We are diminishing Jesus. We are, in our thinking, making him less than he is. We end up not knowing the real Jesus. We end up not following the real Jesus. Only a part of Jesus. Or worse than that, we end up using our small thoughts of Jesus to keep us from following him at all. He's only a teacher. Why should we listen to him? He's only a helper or a miracle worker. Why should I change my life to follow him? We can know what Jesus tells us of himself. We can know what Jesus shows us of himself. Remember the first verse in Mark's gospel? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel is written so that we may grow in knowing Jesus to be Christ, in knowing Jesus to be the Son of God, in knowing Jesus to be the one who is making himself known in this gospel. Don't settle for what's not enough. Lent is a challenge for us not to know everything, but to know just a bit more than we did before. To grow just a bit more in recognizing who Jesus is so that we may follow him more closely. Don't settle for what's not enough. Because it isn't. It isn't enough. And there's more of Jesus for us all to grow into. Who do you say I am? Well, Peter gets the right answer. You're the Christ. Yep, but he doesn't know what it means. The word Christ means anointed. Christ is a king word. It identifies someone being set apart to be king. It's the word which the Greek translation of the Old Testament used in that verse where Samuel poured oil upon the head of the young boy David. We might read the verse as Samuel christened David. In more usual English, Samuel anointed David, set him apart, marked him out as the king. But you can't have two kings at the same time. The elders, the chief priests, the scribes, they form a political power block in Judea at the time of Jesus. The Romans, well, they were the true rulers. Caesar is Lord was the confession everyone was required to make. And they had appointed Herod as king. And the chief priests and the elders and the scribes weren't too keen on that. They thought they should be king. And so the declaration that Jesus is king, you are the Christ, that's what Peter's saying. You are the king. Jesus is king. This is a direct political challenge to the chief priests and the scribes and the elders who wanted to be king. A direct challenge to Herod, who had been appointed king. A very powerful challenge to Caesar, who in exactly the same words wanted to declare Caesar as Lord, when in fact Jesus is Lord. Jesus is king. This puts him into conflict with all the others who wanted to be king, with the status quo preserving rulers of the day. Jesus is king in God's kingdom. And this sets the all-new kingdom of God in direct conflict with every human kingdom. We see this conflict very clearly in the gospel. Jesus began to teach the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this plainly. There can be no other way. God is not going to impose his kingdom by power and violence over the kingdoms of the earth. And yet God's kingdom of grace and love comes into conflict with these human kingdoms. There is no other way than the way of the cross. Jesus is king, but a different kind of king. Not one who grasps at power by killing his enemies. Rather, one who defeats power in the weakness of his own death. Not one who gains power by killing his opponents, but one who offers life to his opponents at the cost of his own death. Jesus is king, a king found in human form, who learned obedience through death on a cross, a king who was then exalted by God, lifted up to the highest place, given the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Obedience to death on a cross and then reign on a kingly throne. This is Jesus' way. This is who he is. This is what it means to say Jesus is Christ. But Peter can't understand this. And often we live as though we didn't either. Peter, having confessed Jesus as king, is as though he now puts his arm round him, takes him aside and says, now Jesus, this is quite a good idea, you being king. But this business about the cross, you've got that wrong. Can you imagine saying that to the king? You've got your ideas wrong. You're going in the wrong way. Jesus is trying to say to Peter his way, but Peter is trapped in human thought. Jesus calls him to think God's thought. Perhaps we get trapped in our human thought because we love Jesus. We don't want him to suffer. But this is his way, the only way for him to be our king and our savior. Perhaps we think Jesus has made a mistake. Can't be right You don't need to suffer and die and be rejected. There must be another way. But it's no mistake. It is for us he hung and suffered there. However good our intentions, if we try to divert Jesus, if we try to change his way of being king into our way of being king, we leave the path of the cross. We leave the way of God's kingdom. We don't need to understand. There's something here that's beyond understanding. What we need is, if we name Jesus as king, to bow before him, to bend our knees and say, okay, I've named you as king, you be king. You set the way. And even if I don't get why you're going to this cross, I'm going to follow you there. We need to trust him. If he is king, we need to trust him that he knows what he's doing. All we need is to follow the king. Who do you say Jesus is? Is he just another man, as likely to be wrong as the rest of us? That's what you think. Don't follow him. Why would you follow someone like that? Is he just a prophet? Someone who hears from God and speaks his word? Okay, listen to him. But don't follow him. You don't follow prophet. Is he kind to you? Does he do amazing things? That doesn't make him king in God's kingdom. You should only follow him if he's the king. So who do you say Jesus is? Jesus is the Christ, the king in God's kingdom. This is the way of Lent. This is the way of the cross. Jesus' way, the highway of the king. As King Jesus gets to pick the way we go, he sets the direction. We don't get to challenge him. We don't get to say, how about trying this path? We get to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. As king, Jesus suffers for you so that you don't need to suffer this death which you cannot endure. King Jesus is the only one who saves us from death and sin. This is how we need to know him. As king, Jesus loves you. He loves you more dearly than you could ever know or tell. King Jesus loves you. Because he loves you, he chooses the way of the cross. The way of the cross is Jesus saying, this is how much I love you. We need to know Jesus in that way. The king who is our savior. Who do you say Jesus is? Today is the day that you must answer this question. Who do you say Jesus is? Let him hear you answer. You are my king, my savior, my God. And I will follow you on the way of your cross. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus took the way of the cross for us. Thank you that you have made Jesus known to us as the king in your kingdom, the savior who died for us. Change our hearts and our minds that we might know Jesus in this way, which is your way. Change our hearts and our lives that we might follow this Jesus on the way of his cross. Hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.